Thank you, Stan. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we feeling? That's good. I was expecting it to be a little bit more somber, so thank you. That was awesome. I appreciate it. It makes me feel pretty good. So today's topic, does huddle make a difference? Ask yourself that question. Take a second or two. Ask yourself, does huddle make a difference? Do we even want to go as far as not even limiting it to huddle, but even putting it in perspective as ministries that you're involved in, the churches you're involved in, any special program you might be involved in, your family, your group of friends? What kind of difference does it make? Ultimately, for me, I can tell you that huddle, the core basis of huddle for me is the fellowship, right? Like anything we're involved in, again, the list I just kind of named off, it's the fellowship. So if we want to take it that step, do we want to go a little bit further? How important is fellowship? How important is it? I hear a very out there. Important. So again, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. Even though I do have a brother, I could probably speak for him. I'm not going to. I'm going to just speak for myself. For me and what I have learned, and I can tell you I took huddle, everything at church, the great banquet, work, family. I took a lot of things for granted. And when I first started coming to huddle, I didn't really know what it was per se. Just knew it was a group of dudes that got together, you have a nice brown bag lunch, you talk a little bit afterwards, maybe shake a few hands, give a little hug here and there. That's what it is. But thanks to certain people in this room and certain people within my group, there's something much bigger at work. Much, much bigger. So how important is fellowship? I can tell you, in this moment, in this time, for me, it's a privilege. It is a privilege to come to a place every single week like this, downtown Kokomo, to gather together as the body of Christ, a ministry that's been enabled by God Himself. I mean, longevity, a huddle kind of speaks to that, right? It's been enabled by the grace of God for those that believe in the same gospel, and it unites us and makes us stronger in the name of Jesus Christ. And we get proof of that in John 17, verse 23, where Jesus says, I united with them and you and me, so that you may be completely one, and that the world thus realize that you sent me, and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. Let me read the first part again. Maybe get an amen out there. I united with them and you with me so that they may be completely one. Amen. Completely one. Fellowship, right? Fellowship. It makes us one. Not with just one another, but with God. It's this time that we spend here, the hour every single week where we are fortunate enough to come into this place that bridges that gap and reconnects us. Again, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not going to speak for you, Tony. It's also very encouraging. It is very encouraging to my heart to know and experience that oneness with you guys. And the oneness ultimately that we share with our Father. And that oneness is proclaimed in 1 John 1 verse 3. Where it says, what we have seen and heard, we are proclaiming to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus the Messiah. I was waiting for it. Thank you. Thank you. I can't really tell you where this finally clicked on me. I don't know if it was a certain boss, certain brother, certain pastor that helped me realize, like, gentlemen, do you understand the fact that when we come into this place, I mean, how many men do we think are in this room? Can I get an estimate, anyone? 152? Give or take. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. But do you realize that when you come into this place each and every week, that there is a city, that there's a community, that there's people at front desks that see that there are men coming into this place for some reason, whether they know it or not, and that you guys are making that proclamation every single week when you come into those doors, you get your food, and you sit down at this table, that you are proclaiming that you are one with the Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. Do you understand that you are making that proclamation each and every week that you come? But proclamations can go only so far, right? In the 2 years, I think it's 2 years, 2.5 years, someone might have to help me out with that, I really don't know. 2.5 years I've been in Kokomo, the biggest thing that I have learned in my walk, and it's made all the difference in the world, is that you cannot do it on your own. We were not born to do it on our own. If you try and do it on your own, you're going to fail. I mean, we're men, right? We can do it on our own. We can fix it. We can do whatever. We can get through work. We can get through life. We can take care of our families. We can take care of our home. We can do all of this on our own, right? We're dudes. It's in our blood. We can't do it on our own. We will fail. We need each other, right? We go all the way to Proverbs 27, verse 17. Does anybody know the verse on top of their head? Awesome! Just as iron sharpens iron, a person sharpens the character of his friend. I'll read that again. I'm getting amen. Just as iron sharpens iron, a person sharpens the character of his friend. Amen. Amen. We can't do it on our own. When you are making that proclamation coming into this building today, you've got an entire world looking at you. You have the whole city of Kokomo looking at you. All the construction happening right across the street, all of them are looking at you. People at the front desk are looking at you. Each and every person here is looking at you. They're looking at me right now. But we're making that proclamation. And to actually try and carry that out on your own, you will not do it. Iron sharpens iron, but we sharpen each other. I can tell you that, in all openness, I took Huddle for granted. I took a lot of things for granted. I mean, we could spend all day. I can't tell you when it clicked, but when I finally put all the things in perspective, I'm very humbled by something like Huddle. I think we all have, consciously or subconsciously, expectations of Huddle when we come in, right? We expect there to be food. We expect there to be something to drink. We expect there to be tables set up. We expect there to be chairs to sit in. We expect there to be writing utensils, sign-in sheets, name tags, discussion notes. Jim and I apologize ahead of time. You don't have discussion notes. But we have expectations. But the beauty of it is, when we come together, where there's one or more in my name, there I am. And these things just happen. Somehow, some way, we have people jumping up, stepping up to the plate to give us food to eat. They don't have to. They do. Somehow, some way, we got people setting up these tables, making sure that everything we need is on those tables. Even the little table numbers, table number 3. That's all here. Whether you want to, if you've ever thought about it or not, it doesn't really matter, but we have expectations. But somehow this ministry and the longevity of it has continued to do such that, to give us everything that we need and we expect it's already there. Same thing when we leave. We fold up the chairs, we throw our trash away, somehow magically, the trash gets taken out by somebody, all the stuff gets put away, the food gets, whatever's extra gets packed away and goes wherever it needs to go. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, men. And my prayer is, someday we finally get it. That someday we finally get it. It's that same Holy Spirit. We read about it in the Bible all the time. Like, Jesus was a man. He came down to earth. He couldn't do it just in the human form. He couldn't do all the things that we read about and, you know, give him glory and all the worship. I'm not putting any of that down. But there was a power that lived inside of him. He was God. He had the Holy Spirit inside of him to create all, to make all the miracles happen. The mute talk, blind see, the same power that raised him from the dead and gave us the victory over sin, power, and the death of the devil. You know what I'm saying. I have learned and how Huddle makes a difference in my life. We all have backgrounds. We all come from different places. We could go on and on and for weeks if we needed to. Huddle is what the church should be. Look at your church. I know there's pastors in here and church workers. I apologize ahead of time. I'm not a professional speaker. Huddle is what the church should be. It's the body of Christ coming together for one thing and one thing only, to enhance the kingdom through the Holy Spirit and because of our fellowship with one another. We're not talking about music. We're not talking about style of worship. We're not talking about programs that's going to enhance attendance or financial gains, anything like that. Huddle is here specifically to enrich the lives of the men in Kokomo, to make them stronger, to enhance the kingdom. Amen. So, yeah. Does Huddle make a difference? I can answer that for myself. Only you guys can answer it for yourselves. Does it make a difference? If it does, how? Are you wanting to carry it out? We hear on the news everything that's happening in the Middle East, as depressing as everything is, even within our own city. When we leave here, are we sharpening each other enough so that when we walk past those desks, we look different to the people that say hi to us when we come in and say bye when we leave? Are we being changed enough and transparent enough that when we walk out the street, someone looks at you like you're a wacko? And if Huddle is not making a difference, why not? And I can ask myself these same questions. I'm no different than you. So in a nutshell, does Huddle make a difference? I love all you guys.
Thank you. You're right. Keep going. I was trying to talk him into keep going. Well, when Mike asked me out back, he asked me, you know, just give a talk on how Huddle has impacted my life. And the first thing that thought in my mind was, I'm not a man of many words. I'm more of a man of action. So I looked up to see what the definition of impacted was. I mean, I knew what I picture in my mind. I picture two garbage trucks going head to head and smashing into each other. And the definition is the striking of one thing against another. And, you know, Huddle's been that to me. It's been a gentle nudge and it's been a gut check from the men in this room. So I've spent the last few days in the past here being about half sick to my stomach about this deal. And I talked with a brother yesterday who told me, don't go up there and read something, just speak. Well, God's been speaking to me for the last 2 weeks about this deal, and I don't want to miss anything. So if I look down, I'm sorry, but I don't want to miss all the things He has for me to say. I never thought this would be something that I was asked to do. That's been a pretty constant pattern in my life for the last 6 years. I'm not equipped, but God will equip me. The last thing I ever want to do is give Jesus a black eye. And that's probably why I'm going to stare at this paper a little bit. I've joked around a bunch with a lot of you about why I said yes. And I even teased one of you men's wife that he's going to pay for saying yes for me to Mike out there. So the main reason God helped me to say yes to this is the first thought was to honor my wife. You see, she's always wanting to know what the fuss is here about why I want to come here and why I go out of my way and why I miss a job or whatever just to get here on Wednesdays. This place has changed my life. It's been one of the tools that God put in my path that no matter what's going on in the world, I want to get here. I want to be around you guys. See, the man that God's making me out to be is the man that she prayed for when she was a little girl. See, she knew who Jesus was when she was a little girl. I didn't. And a little history about me. I grew up in a Lutheran church. Maybe a couple other guys might know a little bit about that. I became a member of that church by memorizing the books of the Bibles and going to some classes. You know, they never really, maybe I missed it, but I don't remember ever having about a talk about a relationship with God or Jesus. I don't remember that. Not say anything bad about it, I don't remember that, and that never stuck. So, I guess you would say that the first 30-plus years of my life, I was involved in the world and world views. I wasn't a bad guy, but I knew how to be one. Looking back on it, I can see all the times that God tried to gently nudge me back in or forcefully nudge me back. Then when I least expected it, this little lady sitting back there in the room came into my life. She was specifically made from my side. See, she'd prayed since she was a little girl for a godly man to lead her and her family. And when she found me, I was not that guy. I knew she was the one, and she knew I was the one. But I still didn't understand or have a relationship with God. When we moved to Kokomo in 04, we had hers, mine, and ours on the way. My daughter Cassie started at Northwestern along with Drew. And she was invited to Shiloh, little country church. We had talked about going, but once she was invited, we said, yeah, we'll take you. And I took up a lot of space in that church for several years. Until one day I was feeling about as low as I've ever been. I don't know if you guys know Kevin Oster or not, but he's always smiling, big heart. He walked up to me and said, what's going on? I fought back tears and I said, whatever you got, I want some of it. He said, I'll pick you up tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So he took me to a small group. And I met, there's several of you in this room that were at that small group. And some of the guys that were in that small group are a big part of Huddle. They just, with work and all, they can't get here. I never felt peace like that. Like when I was in that room with those men. You know, they had a focal point that I didn't have, and that was Jesus. A couple hours into the group, one of them mentioned something about Huddle. I kind of sparked a little interest with me, so I went home and I listened on the internet. Then I couldn't stop listening on the internet. And by Wednesday, I was sitting in this room. It seemed like God was starting to reshape my ears so that I could hear Him. I remember one day I was debating on whether to go to a small group or to go to my son's baseball game, CJ, and he said, Dad, there'll be more baseball games. Go to small group. I like the guy you're becoming to be. He was 7 years old when he said that. This is an unbelievable community of believers. It's indescribable. I can't put it into words what this means to me coming here, this ministry. It's not a good old boy bless me club. You men are real. As I look around the room, I could sit at any table and have a friend, a real friend. It wasn't that way the first time. But it is now. And I love you guys. Our family has had plenty of adjustments over these past few years, with me playing catch-up for the lost years of my life. Not everything goes as planned in our home, but through church, huddle, the banquet, the awakening, dad camp, small group, youth group, I've learned to listen for his voice. Last night after school, there was some school bus drama for Lexi and Tori, our little ones. They spent the evening doing circles around me, chattering and carry on as I sat and tried to go through all my notes that I've been written down over these last 2 weeks. I started to get a little upset, but, you know, what are you going to do? So we went to tuck them in for bed. They had dug through their devotional, trying to find out what would pertain to their drama. I want to read what they said last night. This is a girl after God's own heart devotional. So if it says anything about being a good girl, just change it to good guy. Imagine how big the universe is, sun, moon, planets, and especially the distant stars. Makes you feel pretty small and insignificant, doesn't it? But you should never feel like you don't matter. God cares about you and is interested in every little detail of your life, like the pictures, books, and clothes in your room. And he wants you to make sure that you're growing as a girl after his own heart. When you're cleaning your desk or folding your clothes or making your bed, you can pray, listen to praise music, and talk to Jesus. You can even get together with a friend and help clean each other's rooms while you talk about what the Lord is doing in your lives. God created work to be fun and rewarding. What an awesome plan. God, thank you for the opportunity to do chores and for the creativity you have given me to make them more fun. When I look at my neat and shiny room, I'm reminded of the state of my heart, a heart that loves you. Amen. You see, they've seen Carrie and I dig through the Bible, talk to friends, dig through devotionals. Sorry, Josh. Is that yours? Look for God's word and God's way and whatever's going on in our life. You know, I have up here, I brought number one dad trophies and cards and letters and number one dad pen and number one keychain. I mean, that's the proof of what this place does for me. I mean, they think of me that way. Not that they didn't before, but now they genuinely know what to look for in a man. You see, I'm worried about what my girls are going to look for when they look for a man. I don't want them to look for that old guy that I used to be. I want them to look for the guy I'm trying to be now. And also with my boys. I mean, unfortunately, Drew saw the better part of my life, that other guy. And that's goofed him up just a little bit, just trying to figure it out. And it's rough, but we're figuring it out together. We're just very blessed with the family that we have. God's going to work this out, and we're going to give him all the glory for it. Amen. As far as this room, I have relationships all over this room I didn't have 6 years ago. I'm learning to be constant and more loving at home. It seems like I used to be that my family would get my wrath while the rest of the world got my grace. And I'm trying to make sure my family gets my grace as much as the rest of you in this world. Learned that the man I am is exactly what my boys are learning to watch. I want them to use Jesus as the bar, not the old guy I used to be. This room is full of men helping me to become that guy. Some specific things... Do I have enough time, Mike? Okay. Some specific things that stick in my heart that are often said in this room. Are you who you say you are? That's a big one for me. I like to say in my head, am I who I say I am when people are watching or when I'm alone? Learning to be more humble and nurturing and loving like our wives doesn't make us weak, it makes us stronger. 2 days after I heard that right in this room, God used me to disciple to a man one Friday night just a couple blocks from here. Had coffee with him for a few hours, trying to figure out what Jesus had planned for his life. I can't imagine the winter he spent outside underneath that bridge. A week before, I probably would have walked around. There's a lot of men in this room, too, that I thought there's no way I'm talking to that guy. Either I was too intimidated, he's too outspoken, it was just weird. But by standing up here and giving a talk, I mean, I'm just being real. I've learned to love those men. They're awesome. There are a lot of great friends in this room. It's helped me to figure out what a godly legacy would look like for me and my family. And that life is short, and make sure my bags are packed. He's got it. I just need to listen and be obedient and give him the glory. To write my plans in pencil and not with a Sharpie. The scripture, iron sharpens iron just as one man sharpens another, is comforting and convicting. But God has just used this room and the men right here today to write that on my heart. Huddle has helped me understand radical, crazy love and what that should look like. There's something that's been on my heart to do for the last 5 years, 6 years. I could never get my head around it. I never understood it. I never understood why I didn't do it or why I should. When Mike asked me, it's the first thing that came in my mind. Don't know if it's ever been done before here, but we'll give her a shot. It's not about me. It's all about him. Harry, can you come up here for a minute? Don't be nervous. I would never hurt you. Have a seat. Promise to love you like Christ loved the church, to lay down my life for you, to honor and love you without asking for anything in return. You are my noble wife that's worth far more than diamonds and rubies. I will walk to the ends of the earth with you by my side. I ask for your forgiveness for the times that I've treated you horribly. Sure, that without your prayers, I would not be the man I am today. I love you more and more each day. I promise to strive to be the man that God laid on your heart when you were just a little girl. I will protect you and build you up. In the name of Jesus, I ask for protection wherever these feet go. God be with her always, and with all you men. I just want to leave you with a little quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's a guy that I like that my wife hates, so she's going to get to hear it today. The church is the church, only one that exists for others, not dominating but helping and serving. It must tell men of every calling what it means to live for Christ, to exist for others. That's what this room does. The challenge, it's time to be the church, especially at home. Thanks.